Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the What Did He Said podcast. It's your boy Chingo Bling. Boop, 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 boop,
boop, boop. And your girl Marisol.
More energy, Marisol. Más energía, más energía. It is day. We have no clue. We don't know what clue, what day.
Well, you know what's funny? Quarantine. Here's the thing you're talking about. You don't know what day it is. So I had been posting. I was trying to post a vlog for like literally the day that it kicked off that we were going to start having to stay home, right? Where we couldn't leave. Mm-hmm. So I did good. I did day 2, 3. And then I went 4, 5. So day 6, 7, 8. And I think 9. I forget. I think we're on 10 now. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. But let's just say all those days will now have to be combined in one vlog because I just stopped posting because I was like, shit, what day are we on? What? Wait, is this Tuesday? Well, when you told me it was Friday the other day, I was like, it's Friday? I couldn't believe it. I don't even know what day it is.
Well, today's Monday. And we've been going live every day on Facebook. That's been fun. It looks like people enjoy it. So if you haven't gotten a chance, go check that out. And we also mentioned the podcast when we're over there. So let's just get the whole party together. But we just did a workout today because there ain't shit else to do. We went for a walk already because there ain't shit else to do.
Isn't it weird, though? Our schedule is so different now, yet I still feel like we're still so busy. I feel like creating content is just as busy as preparing for a tour, but not as hectic where I'm running around doing the errands for it. But I feel it's just as hectic because it's like planning.
And when you have a kid, don't forget.
Well, yeah, because we have no babysitter. I mean, we always talk about it on the podcast about how, you know, when Luisa arrives, it's like, go. You know what I'm saying? Get all the shit you need to get ready to do because we only have Luisa for X amount of hours.
Yeah.
In this case, we only have my sister. She only gives us, what, like 2 hours, right?
Yeah, about 2 or 3.
2 to 3 hours. She's down to do more, but we don't want to take advantage of that either, you know, because she's been willing to help us
out. It's like, girl, it's a quarantine. You ain't got nothing else to do.
Yeah. And so, you know, she gives us a few hours and you know, it is what it is. You know, one thing that's funny is that what I've learned is that Penny doesn't really have structure.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to figure out how to give her structure because she knows a routine, but there's no structure for her. She doesn't know that. She knows that in the mornings, right? Mm-hmm. She gets up and she gets to go for a walk and she knows that, right? Because she knows I got to get her ready. She knows that her diaper gets changed, you know, and she's fine. Have you noticed that the last couple of days she's told me pee-pee, popo? So she's telling me.
Getting ready.
I'm
about to save money on diapers.
Yes, I'm hoping that this is the start. So my goal, babe, from here to the time hopefully this ends, or really from here to her birthday because it's only 3 months away. Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. I'm hoping she's potty trained by 2.
My mom's birthday is like next week.
Yes.
Or like in 2 weeks.
So we're going to have to do the same for her.
Drive by.
Yeah.
Burr, burr, burr.
But anyway, it's crazy because I'm trying to find some kind of structure for her to where she knows that is this time it's for walking time. This we do her lunch every day at the same time. So that's probably the only thing that she has down in the morning. It's the evenings that I haven't. Mm-hmm. Should I just like let her play? Is it like, dang, bitch, not everything got to be structured?
Well, we get Mickey tomorrow. So I think the more structure, the better, the more routine, the better. Definitely like I slept pretty good last night. How'd you sleep last night? Because Scott Adams hypnotized me.
Yeah, he hypnotizes you every day.
Yeah,
he
does a nighttime where he checks in nighttime, his little nighttime Periscope and podcast. And he literally tells you, like, you're going to get good sleep tonight. Picture my voice counting to 20. You know what I mean? So anyway, back to routine. Morning routine got to be on point. You conquer the morning, you conquer the day. Nighttime routine is going to dictate how you feel the next day. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Because like your sister, I hear her complain all the time. She's like, oh, Thea, I didn't sleep last night. And I was like, hey, question, do you make to-do lists in your bed? She's like, yeah, all the time. She's like, before I went to bed, I was worrying about, because she had this international job first, right? Well, she's like, I'm worried about Colombia and then the employee in London. And then I'm like, damn, you taking
well,
all
right
that?
Well, right now she's stressing about if yes or no, she should take the job in Boston, right? Because they want her to leave. And so she's stressing about like, this coronavirus, is it safe for me to do this? Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? What if I catch the corona when I land to Boston? Then, remember, she was like, I have no family. Who's going to help me? I'm like, no, ain't nobody going to help you in Houston if you got the coronavirus, because can't nobody be around you, you know? Like,
coronavirus.
Ain't nobody going to go over there and help you.
Well, here's the thing. If you're going to worry about this job offer in Boston, don't worry about it in bed.
Yeah.
Don't lay in bed watching a scary, tense show while having a cell phone light in your face while you're making a to-do list and you're worried about shit. Now your brain is associating entertainment, anxiety, and worry all with your bed. So now your brain is like, oh, I'm laying down and watching a movie. This is a time where I can be up and energetic because I'm being entertained. Yeah. So the more you watch TV in bed, your brain starts to think like, oh, it's bedtime. It's time to toss and turn.
The first place that you and I, that we have, that we, since we've been living together. Oh, I mean, I shouldn't say that. It sounds like we're not married. Going, you're saying about this entertainment in bed. I'm going to the subject that you're talking about. Okay. Pete. We've never used to have a TV in our bedroom in the past. This is the first house that we have where we put a TV in the bedroom. We didn't have one in Wheeler and we didn't have one on Rosewood.
Interesting.
Huh. So we never had TVs.
I could have swore. Okay.
No, we only had the TV in the living room. No one had. And then we only got a TV for Mickey because we were tired of watching, almost like the same situation we're in right now. We're tired of watching Penny's stuff. So then that's when we decided to put a TV in Mickey's room. Remember, we got her that TV so she could play DVDs and so forth.
Nintendo.
And then she had her TV in her room. Mm-hmm. And then we had the TV in the living room. And that was it. But we never had a TV in our bedroom. This is the first house that we've had together that we had a TV.
Yeah.
And for the longest, we never watched it in our room, Pete. Mm-hmm. We always used to watch it in the living room. Uh-huh. Always. The TV was actually for decoration for the longest. It's been here recently since the quarantine, I say, that we've been watching more of the TV in our bedroom together.
Since the Rona.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, the point is, you know, with the quarantine, one of the things I want to get out of it is just a tight routine to where, like, I know that this is what works for us. This is what works for me. Everything else got to fall around this. You see what I'm saying? Because sometimes in your career or work or business, sometimes people request, even just in life, like family gatherings or someone's birthday or this or that or an event or someone, your second, third distant cousin is getting married or whatever. And it's like, oh, but that's starting to get, that's going to throw off. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to sound like an old fart, but like, if I'm home and this is my home routine, well, now I'm going to have to go across town, kick it with y'all, make it home at this time. And now it's going to fuck up my morning. And you see what I'm saying?
What do you miss most right now?
From before the quarantine?
Pre.
I would say, let me think. Okay, good question. Obviously, your freedom to just go and do whatever. Although I am enjoying the quarantine. I would probably say like real squat. Like real squat rack. I'll actually be able to like actually bench press some weight.
So you miss the gym?
Yeah. Like
so that's actual, me too. Uh-huh. I miss the gym because for me, even though I've been doing these home workouts for all my patrons, for me, my motivation comes at the gym. You know what I'm saying? That's actually where my creativity juices start to flow is when I'm at the gym working out. So for me, even though I'm back here doing videos for folks, I honestly, like, they don't have any idea, these people of that watch my videos. They probably think, like, man, she's so badass. She just finds it in her. No. It takes everything out of me to be able to do these videos at home because I don't get the same motivation at home that I do at the gym. When I'm on my way to the gym, I'm preparing my... I'm playing my songs in the car, like the music I want to hear so that it can pump me up for the gym. I'm already starting to think about what my workout's going to be. I'm looking at my workout book, like my little journal that I keep, like, okay, I'm going to do that body part. Should I do these exercises? I, like, look at my previous workouts. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm, like, really getting in the mood. So I, like, really prepare myself. And right now, it's like... fuck, man, come on, get with it. You got this. Get this workout in. You need it. Your body needs it. You're not, you have, honestly, to be honest with you, this whole quarantine, there's no reason why no one should be losing weight.
Yeah, I mean,
because you should be walking like shit, walking like crazy.
And first of all, like, it's almost like before you even get in the gym, it's almost like, hold on, man, let's see what your pull-up game is. Like, can you do air squats? Like, let's just jog first. You know, how your pull-ups, you know, your abs. Like, first, let's do a whole bunch of core before we even get to the squat rack and the bench press. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but those are some things that I'm going to say I miss the most, is being able to get to the gym. I actually miss working out with Sean. You know what I'm saying? Like, I looked forward to having whatever he... And you know what's crazy? Is you know me better than anybody. Mm-hmm. You know that I do not like having a trainer. But Sean, I didn't mind going to because I just always felt like he knew how to keep me... like, oh, I know that this is something that they would like. You know what I'm saying? Like, he always made it challenging, and I always felt stronger when I left. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important mm-hmm. when you leave the gym. When I work out, that is always my goal. When I go by myself, it's like I need to feel accomplished. Like, I hit it. I hit every part. I did it. I'm here. And, you know, I felt like I accomplished something, and I felt challenged. I always feel like if you don't leave that way from the gym or your training session with whoever it is that you work out with, if you don't feel like, fuck, that was a good workout, I'm exhausted. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I always feel like it wasn't 100%. You didn't give 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll figure
out. So what I'm getting at is everything you should be doing right now during this quarantine should be at 100%, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Because you have no excuses right now. There's not like there's another distraction right now happening to where it's like, oh, you have no excuse.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what I'm getting at is I'm just trying to like really just tighten up time management because it's one of those things where like you don't want the quarantine to go by. And it's like, you still didn't write that book or like you still didn't edit that footage. And I finally come out with that documentary, like, you know, those types of things. So like I was telling your sister earlier, like, you know, I'm trying to narrow down like what systems, like what goals, like what exactly, because I know we're going through the motions, like we're going live every day, you know, we're still podcasting every week, we're still trying to, you know, streamline and make videos and get the editing, you know, we uploading files and going back and forth on Dropbox on different things and songs and all this crap. Like I recorded some vocals actually here on mm-hmm. this mic, and I had to like we transfer them to the engineer. Uh-huh. So we're still trying to get stuff done. But I don't want the quarantine to go by and be like, you know, I was still procrastinating.
Well, I challenge all our listeners to actually come up with something. Like, think about something you've always wanted to do and come out semi good at doing, you know, or at least know how to begin whatever it is that you want to do. You know yeah. what I'm saying?
So, like, so tell us about it. Leave us a message. Hit up 409-233-3459. That's the official number to the What Did He Say podcast. One more time. That's 409-233-3459.
And leave us a message. Let us know what you're doing during this quarantine. How are you staying busy? What are you doing with your kids? Are you driving each other crazy yet? Everyone always asks us that, if we're like driving each other crazy. And
I'm going to have to start pressing record about 10 minutes earlier so y'all could just hear it firsthand. But yeah, no, we're surviving. We're staying positive. Same shit I've been preaching, man. Like, stay prayed up because, you know, God forbid you start to like shit. The news just starts getting scarier and you have to be careful. You don't catch PTSD coming out of this thing. Like, don't let them stress you to death. Don't let them scare you to death. Like, you know, stay on top of your shit.
Well, you want to know priorities. Something, babe?
Uh-huh.
Speaking of this PTSD thing.
Okay.
I haven't been really checking my DMs on my Instagram uh-huh. just because we've been kind of like busy and stuff. But someone told me like, thanked me for being so positive all the time. And she says that she'll go back through my Instagram to see old quotes uh-huh. because she says that she's a single mom of three. And because of this whole quarantine thing, the dad, I guess whoever the dad of these kids are or whatever, he's a truck driver. Mm-hmm. So he's still an essential. So he's working. So all the, you know, all the workload is on her and she's not working. Okay. Because mm-hmm. her job wasn't essential. Right. Mm-hmm. Anyhow. So she's saying that she's trying really hard to stay like sane for her kids, for her kids and herself. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I just can't seem to find that motivation to keep just like being positive. Like anytime I see something negative, like instead of telling my kids positive things, I actually sit there and tell them all the negative shit that there is that's going on about about the quarantine. It's like, because she's like, I feel like if I sugarcoat it for them, it's like they're not, I'm not being honest with them about what's really happening. I'm letting them think that it's not a big deal. And then they don't understand, because she feels like if she's telling her kids, it's going to be fine, you're going to be fine, which we are going to be fine, right? Yeah. But if she just keeps telling her kids that, what I gathered from her message was she feels like if she keeps sugarcoating things to her kids, they're going to not be cautious in the future. They're going to not think, oh, they're going to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This whole germ thing situation is not going to be a big deal. So she says she doesn't lie about like, the amount of deaths that are happening. She says, I tell them that we can't believe everything that we see on the news. She's like, we all know that the news, you know, exaggerates at times. She's like, so I just tell them, like, all we can do is pray for the people who are passing, pray for the people that are ill, and hope that they come out of this, and they just need to focus on their schoolwork, and that's it. Because she said a question that her 8-year-old had was, are my friends gonna die?
Oh, wow.
Because of everything that's going on. So then at that point, she felt like maybe she had gone too deep into the conversations to where maybe other parents are not having these conversations with their kids.
This is what the parents should do. Tune in to the What Did He Said podcast. Because we want to give you the tools. That's like a great topic, what you just brought up. Like, how do you manage your kids? Like, how do you communicate what's going on to your children without A, putting a bunch of fear in them to where now you traumatizing them, or B, the fear of sugarcoating to where you're thinking like they're not going to be careful or whatever. But I mean, I think that was good advice, like what they said, like, we're just going to pray for the people. But at the same time, we know what we need to stay on top of. Wear your mask, you know.
And so she was saying that what she tries to do is, on her own little time, she's like, I'm honest with them. But then on my own time, I try to, like, do the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, try to tell myself all the negative things and then try to find all the positive in the things that are happening so that I don't start to feel like, because she said she was starting to feel like, fuck, we're all gonna fucking die, and or we're gonna catch this disease, like,
or the economy is gonna kill us. So that's why, I mean, this is what happens too. So is politicians get pressured by like the media and the public,
yeah,
to, for example, all corona deaths will have a name and a story, right? All deaths of the economy, like if we just let the economy come to a scratching halt and we just break it because everyone's mindset is negative and we break the economy and then we can't piece it back together, all those deaths won't have a name, won't have a story, because they won't be associated with a virus. You see what I'm saying? It'll be like, oh, well, this person was malnourished, malnutrition, because their dad was laid off and the mom's industry went away and the economy was fucked and it was a Great Depression and that kid died of a disease that could have been avoided, but because they were so poor. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Those deaths won't have a name or a face or a story. So my point is this. The decision makers that are trying to decide, how do we keep the economy going? How do we open it back up? Is it possible that some people can't go back to work first? That's what they're having to wrestle with. But because they're getting pressured to, hey, man, the public doesn't like seeing deaths with a name, with a face. So they rather kill the economy to have less names with a face and a story. You see what I'm saying? It's like a political choice. Like, if I fuck off the economy and let people die that way, I won't be blamed. But these corona deaths, everybody's looking, everybody's counting. Does that make sense? No?
Wait, is this your opinion or is, no? I didn't miss it. I'm asking, is this your opinion?
No, this is.
I'm processing everything you're saying.
No, it's like people that I follow on Twitter, like people that said early they need to close those fucking flights from China. I know what I'm telling you. Or this no mask thing doesn't make sense. Please keep wearing your mask. Like, we probably, like, this advice from the World Health Organization doesn't really make sense. And then later they start finding out, oh, they're influenced by China. Oh, wait a minute. Italy's death numbers are high because China was helping them. like, oh, wait a minute. It might have been an employee from a lab in Wuhan that wasn't getting paid well, and he took the bat and went and sold it because as a trinket or something in the market. You see what I'm saying? It's just a crazy chain of events. But
you know what's even crazier is that as time goes by, I know they keep saying that we haven't hit peak yet, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And my thing is this, almost like you're saying. Uh-huh. So who is going to be the first, who can go back to work, who has a job when this is all over?
Okay, well, what some people are suggesting is, number one, they're finally going to start checking the DNA of the people who that got it and died.
No, I guess you're not understanding me.
Who gets to go back to work first?
So are you going to get tested?
I'm about to tell you.
Are they going to test you first? I mean, some of us don't know if we have it because we're at, you know, okay. Not everyone's getting tested.
Okay, well, look, what I was saying earlier about checking the genes is we're slowly going to have more information as to, oh, are you type whatever, then you're good. Mm-hmm. So we've been waiting on the government to give us some kind of plan, right? That says like, all right, here's a one sheet. Go to this website. It's going to ask you 10, however many questions. Yes, no questions. Mm-hmm. Are you over 50? Yes, for example. Are you female? Yes, no, whatever. Do you have diabetes or do you have asthma? Do you have this? Check them off. And then at the end, it's going to give you a score and it's going to say, no, you're high risk. You know, we don't advise, or based on your age and your prior history or whatever, you can't go back. You're still too risky.
All right. I'm sorry to interrupt, you're going to have to chat for a little bit. My sister just came back from walking Penny and she needs help with the stroller.
Well, cool. I'll keep talking about that. Again, leave us a message. What were we saying exactly? Because that just threw me off. People going back to work. Yeah. So hopefully, you know, the what's the motherfucking tour? The going viral tour, which, you know, I'm laid off from right now. Everything's, you know, the Rona done shut down everything. So God willing, you know, Chingo de Mayo, we might bring that back in a different format. We might be a Michelada contest in September. You know, we don't know. We might have to wait till 2021. You know, it's a May event traditionally. But the Going Viral Tour, a lot of the dates are postponed. You know, perhaps we do just a whole relaunch. I don't know. But one thing for sure is that this situation is transformative. So a lot of industries are going to get hit hard. A lot of businesses, a lot of industries were not set up for this. They're not going to be able to adapt. They're not going to be able to innovate. So it's going to take a lot of businesses out the game. A lot of businesses are going to have to change how they do things. Some places that used to maybe rent, lease a spot like in a strip mall, they might want to just focus online. They're probably like, man, it ain't even worth signing this 3-year lease, thousands of dollars of overhead and rent every month. And, you know. But like we mentioned in the last episode, we started reading this book called Deadliest Enemy. It's by a gentleman. His last name's hard to pronounce, but he's a virologist. He's basically like a virus detective. So, you know, when AIDS hit the scene, when toxic shock syndrome hit the scene, first it was just cases. They're just looking at cases. Like, what is this? Why are people dying? What are the symptoms? And where else is this happening? What are the cities? And just investigating, like the toxic shock syndrome thing, which is it's something that women get sometimes from the heavy duty tampons. Now that's scary because that affects not only ladies, but I mean fellas. You know, we all have moms, sisters, wives, daughters, and it's unfortunate that these products, they just come with a little warning label, right? And if you're not careful, basically what it is the stuff that they use to make those tampons or whatever, it creates like a chemical reaction type of thing, and it basically releases oxygen. And you know, that area is supposed to be anaerobic. It's not supposed to be no oxygen up in there. And that's how you get the bacteria that I guess lives off of that oxygen, and it stems from the use of some heavy duty tampons, and they could lead to like cervical cancer and toxic shock syndrome and just a bunch of fucked up shit. But anyway, in this book, homeboy goes into detail, like they start interviewing these ladies. What are these symptoms? What's going on? What is this? What's causing this? And somehow they notice, like, wait, when's your cycle? How's your cycle set up? Oh, did you start feeling those symptoms around that time? And that's how they pieced it together. But the book is pretty interesting. I'm talking about the, before we switch back.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about that book, The Deadliest Enemy, and how I'm learning how, like, they came up with the name for AIDS and how like.
I'm not there yet, but yeah.
You got to catch up. So anyway, before Marisol took a break, we were talking about how they're going to open the economy back up and how they're going to, you know, keep it going and keep everybody on the mindset of, hey, hey, these unemployment numbers that they throwing at y'all, do the math and look at the percentage, because it might not be as scary as they're making it seem.
Yeah. And I guess that's my question. You know, like, that's what I was trying to say. I was like, so when people start to go back, one is mm-hmm. is now the employer going to like make it a point to test everyone who comes back, right? Also, right? Two, I'm assuming that employer or whatever it is, if it's a mom and pop shop, they may not be able to open, right? So we don't know if they're going to be reopened.
Yeah, I was saying that a lot of businesses are going to get hit really hard. And
the bigger corporations, how many people are they going to hire again or bring back? Because a lot of people were, what is that called, furlough or whatever? Yeah, mm-hmm. So are all those people that were furloughed, are they going to be able to come back? Like, is their job guaranteed, I guess, is my question. Or is it just like you may or may not be able to come back? So, for example, the place that I interpret for, I think I talked to you about this the last time. So it looks like the people who got to stay at the job were based on like tenure. You know what I'm saying? Like, how long you'd been there. So my client has been there now for, I think, 14 years or 15 years, something like that. So he's one of the people in the warehouse that got to stay along with the lead and another guy. So there's only three guys working in the warehouse. And the only reason that other guy got was able to, because they needed help, because obviously the two people who have been there the longest can't do all the work by themselves. Mm-hmm. Technically, they were only going to leave them two. They decided to do three so that one can be working in each little department that they have in the warehouse. Mm-hmm. But it's still a lot of work for one person. Mm-hmm. They're also having to be given this form that says that, because they get out at 11:30. So some people don't live just 30 minutes away from their house. So they have to drive around with this form that says that, you know, I just got off of work. My shift is I'm 3 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., but I'm on my way home, blah, 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 blah. So don't find me or give me a ticket or whatever. Anyway, my point is that company there, are they bringing everyone back? Are they bringing their sales department back? Are they bringing back the drivers? Are they bringing back everyone that's in the warehouse? Are they going to realize, like you said, like they were having this conversation yesterday on the news, like, are they going, or was it on Joe Rogan, I think, they were talking about, where they were saying, like, a lot of people are going to realize, like, wait, y'all can stay at home and work and we don't have to pay office space.
Yeah.
We don't have to, like, pay all this shit that we pay right now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And are they going to find it easier to work this way, where not very many people are commuting? Now there's less pollution.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So is, like you said, I think a lot of good things are going to end up coming out of this, and it's out of this mess.
And it's because, you know, human beings are innovative and human beings know how to solve problems. So it's not like, oh, thank you, virus. But it's kind of like, well, we're going to come out stronger. That's for sure. It's going to be transformative. That's for sure. That way, when the next virus comes, all these world leaders understand that, hey, man, all this, the tanks and the missiles and the nukes and the, you know, anti-terrorism and all that's cool. But this enemy is invisible. This enemy don't discriminate. And it's a global enemy. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Versus like, you know, we just got to watch out for this country, or this motherfucker over here got a nuke. It's, you know, you can't just spend all your money on bullets and helicopters. You're going to have to spend some on vaccines and masks and ventilators and shit like that.
I'm not really a Twitter person, and I don't really even know why I was on Twitter last night. Oh, because I think I got an alert that said that the president was going to speak live. Okay. And so I was watching that thing. And so, you know, how I was telling him, like, those comments on there, people are like, just like, I never get that. Like, if you don't like someone, one, why do you follow them? Uh-huh. You know, I don't have enough time in the world to just be leaving bad comments on people's fucking accounts. I just don't follow you if I don't like you. You know what I'm saying?
So it was bad comments to the president?
A bunch of bad comments to the president. But one of them on there said, and I meant to tell you about this. It said on there, yeah, China's going to definitely like stir up a war between the U.S. and China. Like that it was like, get ready for that.
Well, we're already in a trade war with them. Mm-hmm. Like from the time Trump was campaigning, he was already talking shit. Like, look at our deals with China. Like the fucking trade deals. These motherfuckers. I mean, we're going to have to sever ties with China because number one, all the meth, all the chemicals that the cartels use to pump into the U.S., it comes from China. That's why the dope game's fucked
up. Even the cartels are hurting during this fucking quarantine,
Even ISIS told their little terrorists and shit like, hey, bro, wherever the fuck y'all at, stay over there. Don't bring that shit back to the cave. FaceTime me. Like, don't come back and report and give me no report. You know, I don't want to see you. Stay where you at. Wait till the Rona passes by and we get back to acting a fool. But we're talking about, like, how we're going to be more prepared next time and just there's going to be apps built and we might have to sacrifice some privacy. But if you think about it.
Well, I don't think we really have privacy anyway right now.
Well,
to be honest with you, we
have a whole lot more than
what's coming.
Like, for instance, all it would really take is a little facial recognition and a little snooping on your phone type of thing as to like where you at. Somebody around you. Did they have corona or did we hear you cough? Like have a little AI listening in. To your fucking microphone or we saw you at spring break and now you back at home in Ohio.
Okay, so I want to see that video that you were talking about because I haven't seen it because even Christina P was talking about that too. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious to see that, but it's so crazy because it's a lot of it had to do with what you said. Miami was probably thinking, this is our money week. Like, economy. We're not going to shut down spring break. This is when we make our money. Our city makes their money during this time.
Hotels, restaurants, bars.
Everything. It's popping. You know what's funny, though? I never went to Miami for a spring break. Did you?
No.
Same.
In my rap days, we might have been out there while it was spring break, but it wasn't me being in college. No.
Okay. See, I never did. My thing for some reason, which I now that I think about it, I'm like, why didn't I go to Miami during spring break? But I'd always go to South Padre. Like, that was the spot. I guess College
That's
Station,
Texas.
I don't know. But I'm thinking, like, right now, I'm like,
man, I remember being so depressed when I was going to, like, graduate college. And I was like, fuck, that's it? Like, no more spring break. Like, there's no more breaks. When you're an adult, that's it. There's no more fucking breaks. There's no summer, no nothing. They might give you Christmas off. And I was like, son of a bitch. And then that's when we started making DVDs and doing some crazy Girls Gone Wild type shit and going to New Orleans and going to South Padre and all the car shows. And, you know, back then people used to act a fool because not all the phones had cameras. So,
And you know what's funny? How yesterday when we went live on Facebook where that one fan asked when they called in and said, how does your wife feel? You didn't touch on that. You only touch on the part where like, yeah, I thought about what it was going to do to when my kids grow up, if they ever saw this, what I would say, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Stuff like that. It's funny because to me, everybody just always assumes one that I'm jealous. You know what I'm saying? Everyone always assumes that, I travel with you only because I don't want the groupies to be all over you. You know what I'm saying? Everybody assumes that the reason we work together is because I guess I'm some kind of insecure bitch.
Really? That's pretty funny because, that's an interesting subject because they don't know that, you're there to make the shit run smooth. You're dealing with the club.
Yeah,
you know,
you're doing the total
merch,
opposite. Listen, if
you're
someone...
You're assisting with the fans.
Exactly. If someone is being a bopper and they're like trying to holler at Chingo, I probably wouldn't even know until after the show because somebody might have mentioned it like, did you see that girl doing blah, 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 blah? But honestly, to be honest with you...
I shut it down.
But my thing behind it is that going back to that part, babe, it's funny because to me, I feel like it's a history of you. And I actually love the fact that it was you. Does that make sense? Like the fact that you did do Mañosas Going Wild. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like the crazy time where for me, it's like okay, I don't know that I ever will tell Penelope or Mickey any of my crazy stories, right? But I know that they're there. And it's like your crazy stories were this, except you actually documented it. You know what I'm saying? And it's there. So for me, it's like, no, this is part of his history. Like, this is who he was back then. And if the girls were to ever ask, like, Dad, why would you do that? It's like, well, also, like, this was a different, you know.
I was a documentarian.
Yeah. There was a cause.
It was the history of twerk. Hey, you know, where twerk was invented.
He was trying to make money. You know what I'm saying? It's like a business. It's more of a business.
I'm like, shit, girls gone wild doing it. Like, fuck. You know?
Mm-hmm. My point is, so it's my point with that was just about spring break not being the same, but going back, you were like innovative and you were doing a lot of shit that they're doing barely now. You know what I'm saying? Kids are doing now. It's like recording shit. And you were like back then already kind of doing it.
If it was a car show and there's like a, or if it's like a nightclub, they're doing like a twerk contest or something. I mean, there's like, that's around the time cell phones started coming with cameras and shit. So it's like 50 cell phones in the air. So it's kind of like, you know.
Okay, so I never forget this.
The whole club got footage.
My, I forgot who it was. We went to the club. It was like, I didn't know this girl. This girl was a friend of the friend that was hanging out with us. Does that make sense? So it's a friend of a friend. Yeah, it was a plus one. Well, we went to the club and I didn't know the plus one was there getting ready for, to do the wet t-shirt contest thing. Or is that what it is?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then?
Anyway, so she's like, come on, let's all do it. And that way there's less chance of like the girls winning. If we're all together, we can split the money. And then, I mean, she was really trying to do this, like, sell this pitch.
Like, if one of y'all win, we
so,
all split.
So, like,
it.
Yeah, we still have a chance. And I was like, no.
Was she like at least decent looking or anything like that? Or?
You know, it's one of those girls who has the butter face. Like her, okay, it's the kind, ooh, that you just put a pillow over her face.
Ooh.
But her body was banging, bro. Like if I were a guy, I'd be like, well, if she puts on makeup, win. You know, if she puts on makeup, she'd be.
If she wears a Corona mask.
Yeah. Like her eyes are pretty, you know, type of thing, you know, like teeth are fucked up. You know, ooh, what I'm saying? Like it was more of a big teeth type of thing. And like it's like she could close her mouth. She wasn't like the teeth weren't sticking out, but her body. Bro, I ain't gonna lie. And the thing is, she didn't even have to work for it. Like, she was naturally built like that. You know what I'm saying? And she'd eat junk. I'm sitting there, like, looking at her. I still have to watch what I eat. And she's all eating whatever she wants at taquerias late at night. I'm, like, having one taco. She's, like, having five. And I'm like, wow, you eat like that? And your body still looks like that? Jesus. Must be nice to be you. But anyway, it was crazy because we were going to the club. I had no idea this what her intentions were. And she like literally sat there in the bathroom trying to plot it out. And I was like looking at everybody.
And was she persuading?
Everybody's face was like almost looking like they were getting convinced. And I was like, I'm not doing that. Well, number one, I don't even have boobs. Okay. And number two, like, they're going to laugh and be like, ma'am, with the ant bites, please get off the stage. Ma'am, with the ant bites, please get off the stage.
Like, you should have ate two tacos.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like one of those things. I was like, I'm not doing this. So whoever is going to agree to do that.
That's on you.
So I'm leaving this club tonight knowing that all I came out to do was have a good time and a drink. And I'm not here to take off my fucking shirt and let it get wet so that some fucker can think he can touch on you just cause, you know?
How about that?
So anyway, spring breaks were still kind of crazy though. And that's kind of how they went down. So it's funny that question happened yesterday because I was thinking about it. Like,
on our Facebook Live, which we call Cafecito Time. You should tune in.
Which is almost time for that.
So
anyway, I guess this is a really good conversation starter. We should probably make a part two of it, of it because... Then I wanted to ask you, so with everything that he asked yesterday, right? Like how do you plan to tell your kids about that when they get older, if they were to see it, or, you know, you having girls on, like, how are you going to explain all that being that you have two girls? Like, I also wonder, like, how long in a relationship does it take for you to get comfortable with someone where you start to being able to tell them like your darkest secrets?
Oh, wow. I guess it just depends on the connection. And, it, you know, for some people, it's like, if the connection ain't there, shit, y'all could be together 50 years. And it just depends on the person if they even feel like that even matters or they want
to
share.
Because I feel like we all have skeletons in our closets that we probably have never talked to our other half about, mm-hmm. right? So I'm wondering how many people out there, because of this quarantine, there's almost like nothing to do but talk to your partner.
Now's a good time.
Now is a good time, right? Like, are you going to tell, like, have you thought about, like, you know, as you journal through the day, right? Journal about your day, or you kind of think about your day. Are you also thinking about, like, I really don't get along with this person? Like, are you starting to analyze your relationship? Well, are you starting to feel, I mean, like, you know?
I can't relate. I know I made a right choice, and, you know, I'm married. I tricked her. I trapped her. She's locked in.
He got me pregnant on purpose.
We good. We locked in. But I can only imagine, depending on, like, you know, I'm 40. But if I was, let's just say, 21, shacked up with somebody, you know, the corona's happening. And if I just have all my little internal, like, you know, you're young and dumb and you haven't even faced the man in the mirror. You haven't even evolved or grown up. Then, yeah, I could definitely see it being like a ticking time bomb with a relationship. Like, ah, bitch, I can't handle this.
Because I feel like in the survival mode, like, position that
you're, come in my mind.
Yeah, this survival mode that you're in, mm-hmm. right now, because you're having to survive together.
Especially if you're butting heads. If you're butting heads, fuck
exactly.
That.
So during this time, I really wonder, like, are a lot of people analyzing this other person and thinking about, like,
this bitch can't survive.
Fuck.
She's slowing me down.
We cannot survive
if
together.
If shit hits the fan and I'm like, grab the bug out bag. We jump in the back fence. We meet me at the corner of Alabama. And, you know, it's like, well, why? Why?
But who's going to be there?
Yeah. Who's going to be there? For what? I don't know. I'm thinking maybe, you know what? Peace.
You know, and it's funny because I always say I wish I would have met. I mean, I did meet you when I was younger, but I'm saying, mm-hmm. like, I wish I would have met you before so we could have been together longer, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. right? But I love the stage that you and I met in, because I feel like we were both kind of mature and we had already kind of been
maturing,
through.
I was maturing, but still, man, it was still. I think about that. It was like I had just came back from L.A. I was out there. Well, I was back and forth, but I was out there for a year. And it reminds me of this quarantine. A little bit. Like, I get little flashbacks because in the beginning, when I was first in L.A., like, I didn't even have a gym membership. Because I was just like, look, man, you're trying to just find your apartment or wherever you're going to stay and, you know, just jog just to get your yayas out and maybe do some little push-ups or whatever. And I was shipping out some shirts and hats and I was going downtown and picking up more, you know, blank stuff for the merch and hitting the studio. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just really, like, staying... What's the word? Stay insane, you know?
They're trying to be busy.
And trying stuff, to figure yeah. out, like, okay, what the fuck am I doing out here? What is this sacrifice about? And then eventually when I did move to East LA, I did sign up at a gym over there in that area. And one day I show up and it's fucking shut down.
Oh, shit.
I just show up and they're just like, yeah, there's just like a little sign that's like, yeah, dude, peace. They went out of business.
Aww.
But I don't even know how I got on that subject. But you were talking about being mature. I was like, nah, I think back. And even when I first got back, when I was like, okay, not single dad or whatever the term is, but it's like, okay, I got a kid. I'll have her from time to time. I'm trying to figure that out. Just her, how to entertain her, how to educate her and feed her. What do I pack in her lunch? What does she eat? Mm-hmm. What kind of stuff do I need to, you know, snacks and stuff? And so, yeah, I was it's night and day just from what was that, about 6 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Approximately. That shit went by fast. 6, 7 years ago?
6, boo.
Okay. Well, I was in L.A. probably about 7 years ago then. And we were supposed to be there all summer, but my shit got postponed. Going viral tour, laid off. Más triste que la chingada, güey. I miss the stage, but I love being home. So thank you guys for tuning in today. It's your boy Chingo Blingo with the
Part Big Tamarindo. Part 2 next week, guys. Send us a message. Let us know how you guys are handling this quarantine. Like, are y'all surviving it? Are you analyzing your partner? Are you thinking like, fuck, what did I do? How'd I end up with this person?
Relationship advice. If you have questions about that, give us a call. 409-233-3459 is 409-233-3459.
Babe, say it right.
409.
There you go.
233-3459. Like that?
404-233-4959. There you go, guys.
409-233-3459. All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And thanks to all the patrons for supporting the podcast. Hit up patreon.com/ChingoBling and become a VIP member. Sass.
Bye.
Next time, we'll talk about Tiger King. Peace.